Welcome to Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesdays.
Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesday. My name, as always, is Kyle Rosenthal, and I am joined for the final time this year, which makes me both sad and happy. I'm joined by Brian Bork. How are you, Mr. Bork?
I am well. Happy Christmas to you, Kyle.
And a Merry Christmas to you too. You enjoy, I'm assuming, snow / cold weather.
Enjoy is kind of a strong word, but yes, as a matter of fact, 3 inches of fresh feathery powder fell on my driveway this day.
Excellent. That's like I had to mow about 3 inches off my lawn last night, because in the past week and a half since I last mowed it, that's how much it's grown. So, you know, this there's some symbiosis there, right? There's some, you know, there's
some... Yeah, symbiosis may not be. Is there antithesis? I think is the word there.
Well, you know, it's those fancy American words that I don't understand. So, one of those ones, right?
Like the word "good." It's your word.
Good. What's wrong with the word "good"? I'm confused now.
How would you greet someone? Do you say "good day"?
No, I say hi. Said hi, how are you?
Hello.
I don't know what goes on in your world, but that's generally how I say it. I'd say, like, if you were being really formal English, perhaps you might say good day. But if I'm saying that, it's normally good day, sir. I said good day as I'm walking out the door.
Not good day.
Not good day. I wouldn't use that as a greeting, such as a, you know, as a thought. Of greeting, it might just slip out every now and then, because, you know, like I
submit for your approval virtually any of our episodes in which Wayne appears, because that man says good day.
So as we've discussed before, of all the people that we know, Wayne is by far the most special.
Now be careful, do not want to reduce our listenership.
Unless Wayne's mum's listening, I don't think that's going to be a surprise to anyone. So that's like, I'm just saying, like, Wayne is special. Wayne is his own Wayne. So,
his own Wayne. You are correct, sir. You are correct.
So before we go too much further, we should do a couple of things. We've got to do some housekeeping. Let's run through that. So if you do want to reach out to the us as the podcast, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at TuesdayTTT. You can reach myself at Windows PC Guy, or you can reach Brian, and you can reach Brian at Brian Bork LODS. If you do want to subscribe to the podcast, then I do recommend you do so. Then it means that when James, our sound guy, and sometimes Joiner, does finally publish episodes, and I'm saying that because when I was responsible for publishing the episodes, it literally took months for them to go. So like now that it's taking more than a week, you know, I get cheeky.
Sure.
Yes, if you do want to subscribe to the podcast, then I do recommend you go to our website, which is trainertechtalk.net. And as always, a massive thank you to our sponsor, the one, the only, Learn on Demand Systems. So if you want to go across to learnondemandsystems.com and learn all about the offering from within there, and some of the particularly some of the new and exciting offerings that are coming in the form of things like cloud slices and other technical terms that you'll that we can run you through at that website. So, Brian, how are you?
I am well, Kyle.
That's good.
It's like we've never seen, we have rarely, or just not seen each other.
I don't even know how to interpret what you just said.
Our rapport is such that we obviously have not seen each other for a long time.
That's true. That's true. It feels like a lot shorter time since the last time I saw you.
Our wonderful sponsor and employer managed to bring us all together, and for days and weeks, no, just for a couple of days, and we had a wonderful company meeting, and Kyle managed to tear himself away, as he so rarely does. You know, he it's almost impossible to get him out of Australia and onto the road, but we did manage to tear him away for, I think you said, your last trip of...
Yes, indeed, it was my last trip.
Sorry.
for the year. So it was very exciting. The four, and I'll give you my stats for the year, because this it was my flight back home was my 64th flight for the year, which included 30. I went through 30 different airports, like unique airports during that time, 13 different aircraft types, 51 different routes. So obviously there was some double ups there, 14 countries, 268,000 kilometers, or 166,531 miles. Or 14, or just under 15 days in the year of actual flying time. That was my year. So, which, if you do the comparison to last year was slightly more flights, but slightly less.
So, slightly less, what was that?
Slightly less distance.
Ah, gotcha.
So I did more flights this year, but less flights this year, but I flew more long haul flights. So
sure.
Yeah, so you know, it's good to be home. It's good to be home in the warmth.
In the warmth. And what in that silly measurement system of yours, what was the temperature like, or what is the temperature like right now? Because in my case, it is deep in the evening, but in your case, it is just coming on late morning, early afternoon.
It is. Now, I'm actually going to try using one of my more recent technology purposes to answer this question. So let's try this. Cortana, what's the temperature in Brisbane, Australia?
In Brisbane, it's partly sunny, 28. The sun at a high of 28 in the forecast.
I heard 28.
28. So that's 28 degrees Celsius. Which I'm not sure about that, because it was 28 degrees at about 7 o'clock this morning. So I'm pretty sure that it's actually going to get a little bit warmer. So across the experience of the various different assistants. You've had the two different types of assistants now.
That's correct.
What do you think? What's your favorite? What's the pros and cons?
Well, the big selling point for me on the Echo is the ability to use it as a Bluetooth speaker. And the Invoke is just missing that one piece of functionality. However, I honestly like the Echo system, or ecosystem, if you will. Ecosystem. The echo ecosystem. There you go. I like that family of products the best so far. Followed very closely by the Invoke, but not having tested the third one, the Google line at all. So I right now the Google line is a very distant third for me.
Right. So so I haven't really played much with the Invoke yet. Since I've just got it, as well as the Google Home, which I've got the Mini. So, I'm not sure how the sound and that sort of thing is going to come through that as yet. Because it's the Mini, apparently, I'm going to guess it's not going to be as good as it would be if it was the full version of it. But from a handiness perspective, being able to do things like, say, do all the music services and that sort of thing, I think that's pretty handy. Assume you were on the Groove bandwagon with the Microsoft Groove bandwagon before that got killed off, or is being killed off anyway at the end of this year. Is that
and merged or changed to Spotify?
Yes, so changed. I don't think merged is probably the right term, because they are actually basically killing off one service and going to another.
Right.
I think that because the way that it works, and if you haven't done this already, if you've done purchase of your if you've purchased any music through Groove, then make sure that you actually download that so you have an offline copy of that before the end of the year.
Unless it disappears forever.
Yeah, I think from memory you'll still be able to stream it for a while, was what I was reading, but you won't be able to, there'll be no way to be able to download it for your ownership. That'll be a big thing to make sure you get done before the end of the year. I've also transferred my playlists, and I don't have a lot, but I've got a couple of playlists that I've transferred across onto Spotify. The thing that I like about Spotify as a service is that I found that it works well with Android Auto. So that's what I use in the car, because that's the car has. Android Auto uses the Google Assistant, so I do quite like the ability to be able to just kind of do control of that whilst we're going, while we're driving along. The kids have learned now to say the trigger word in the car, and they can then ask questions of Google as we're going along, or they get it to play the particular songs that they like, which generally between the two of them they have two songs that they really like, and so those two songs go on really high repetition, so one each.
You poor man.
I have been trying to introduce some musical musical education for them. So I've introduced such classics as Vanilla Ice, the Scatman. They think Scatman is hilarious, and try to sing along with him, which is even more funny. I do like the idea of being able to do that hands-free control. I'm not sure about it being in a... I've got all three sitting in my office, and I don't think once I've actually just... Because I thought there was something I needed to ask or a question I had, that I've actually gone, oh, I should just speak that question rather than typing it into a search engine or something like that. You've had the Invoke for longer. Have you do you find yourself using it without actually consciously thinking of using it?
No. I still have to consciously think of it borders on insanity. Talking to yourself, but in a a third person forum.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. 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 No, I
feel like I'm saying, Brian, what's the weather outside? And as opposed to, you know, this other name, but, I still haven't gotten to the point where it's a conscious or an unconscious choice or a subconscious, an unconscious choice. It still feels like every single time I have to go, oh, I can just do this. I do find that the one place I have my just standard Echo, the full-size Echo, is in my kitchen, and I love having it there.
Okay.
As I can set timers and I can do stuff, but again, only if I remember to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's probably... That's probably a good idea. Like, sort of, like, maybe that I might find that more useful as well. Like, sort of, you know, if I move one of them out, like, say, they're probably the least conspicuous of them is the home. That's probably the smaller of all the devices, because it's the home. It's the Google Home Mini, so it is quite small. So I think if I move that out, that might be a maybe that might become more of a thing to use. The thing that I find, like, sort of, I think the bit for me that I would actually find useful, but it's limited from what I can gather so far, and maybe it's just I've got to work out where the limitations are and work around them. But is the idea of being able to use it as an assistant, which is, like, you know, say doing the what's my next appointment? That sort of thing.
Yep.
My problem is that I have, because of the nature of the way that I work, I actually have 4 different calendars. So my appointments will actually go across 4 different accounts.
Mm-hmm.
They're all Outlook accounts or Office 365 accounts, but they're all separate domains. And I don't know whether I can add all of those in as yet. Or how I add all those in. I just haven't sat down to do it. So I don't know. If you like, am I making up a challenge that's not really a challenge?
No, you are fully correct. And you actually just hit on something else that I should say is a sticking point on the Invoke, is that it does not work with Skype for Business. It only works with regular Skype. So in the middle of the day, without any pop-ups coming up on my computer, my Invoke will start, the top will light up, and it will say, incoming call, and I'll be like, I don't know if I should answer that, because almost everything I get in my regular Skype is just, you know, junk.
Junk, yep.
Junk calls. But the concept of having that be a sort of a conferencing speaker really appeals to me. But I don't know if that's actually going to transpire or not at some point in the future.
Yeah, like it would be. Yeah, you're right. I think that would make it more useful if it was. I know that the Echo has skills that you can add in, and one of the skills is Outlook. But again, I don't know what the configuration for that is, like for that calendaring type thing. So because, like, say for instance, like the idea of being able to do the hey, I want to add something to, you know, add something to my calendar. Which calendar does that end up in? Where does it go? and where do you see that outside of the whatever that assistant is? And that's, I think, for me, is at least a little bit that's a challenge as such. That's like I said, like it's I think like it's one of those things, it's kind of there, but it's not quite there as yet. But again, like maybe that's because, like, you and I are kind of edge case users as well, like for some of those things. So but like you can see where the technology is going, and I think that really is the exciting bit. That's the cool bit, that eventually, these are all little things that are going to get solved. It's just a matter of how they get solved and who solves them first, which is then where that winner comes in. And, you know, like, say for instance, I was asking you before about whether you consciously think about doing your, you know, like doing the the invocation of your assistant, so you know, starting it up, do you actually consciously think about it? In my case, at home in the office, I do have to think about it. I do have to think, right, like, you know, what am I doing, and you know, is that possible through whatever that assistant is? And then, you know, invariably ask it the question, and then it says, then it just ignores me for a period of time, or says, "I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying," and then you get frustrated, and then you just go, "Well, you know, the hell with it, I'll do it, you know, the old-fashioned way," and actually type it into a screen. But if I'm in the car, it's now second nature. In the car, I just simply, you know, call out the for the Google Assistant and use that to play music, to play podcasts, to do navigation. Yeah, so which kind of, I guess, says that it can happen as becoming second nature. It's just a matter of finding the right circumstance to for it to be the case.
Correct.
Oh, so.
So while we're talking about this, and because it tis the season,
Tis the season, indeed.
and this is now going on at least the second year, and I don't I dare say now it hasn't been three, but it has certainly been two Christmases in a row that. No, I, now that I think about it, maybe it was three.
I think we like this is the we have been going for 3 years, but we had a fairly large hiatus in the middle.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure we still did a what's on our list of technology wants or avoids. And so I would contribute, or I submit that we should talk about the things that good girls and boys, especially good trainers and trainerettes, actually, I guess trainers is a unisexual term, so I shouldn't say trainerettes. But
Trainers, trainerettes, and Wayne.
I know I shouldn't be, but in my head, I'm envisioning the placards for the restroom. Trainers, trainerettes, and then in the middle.
And then Wayne.
No segregation here.
No, not at all, not at all. Just special Wayne. So yes, yeah, absolutely. Let's get to it. So, do you have anything in mind? What do you think should be under the Christmas tree for a good trainer?
Boy, you know what? I have to preface this with a question, because always, always, always on my list is, gosh, I hate trying to watch my favorite television when I'm on the road on my phone or tablet.
Right.
I do have, we've had multiple conversations about my affinity for Samsung devices.
Yes.
I really do enjoy my S8. I really did enjoy my S7 and my S6
Right.
is when I really kind of came into this. But just today, because somebody said they sent me a text, I had to power on my Windows phone, which I have not used now for many months. And I powered it up, and gosh darn it, that 950 XL is a great phone. But even that really isn't, and you know, just for having something to watch before you go to sleep in a hotel room when you're traveling, or you know, for broadcasting up on you know, a game, you know, the football match, the American football that would be, or the hockey, all of these things, I really like to have a bigger screen. So I'm going to go back to my question before my statement of what I would really like for Christmas. And that is that, do you have any experience with the Moto series of phones?
No.
Okay. I don't know if they're big outside of the US, but inside the US, we see these advertisements all the time because they have what are called Moto Mods. And they're devices that fit onto the back, and they're designed by Motorola. devices that fit on the back of these phones and do things like either give you more battery power or turn it into a really good stereo speaker, or, as in the case of my question or my statement here, they actually turns it into a projector. There's a little thing that fits on the back that turns it into a 75-inch projection unit.
Oh, okay.
And my question was going to be, I wonder how good that is, because what I still want in my Christmas stocking, and it would be nice if it was in my stocking, is a good Pico projector.
Yep.
And there are lots of them out there, and they're getting to be very, very feature-rich with speakers, and one of them is even a power bank, and it's Wi-Fi, and it's, you know, it's all of this other kind of stuff. So there's no one unit, but that certainly would be up there on my good thing to put for good girls and boys.
Okay. So one of the things that I've that I found of late when I've been traveling around, has been a number of places that the TVs, like in the hotel rooms, that has been has had the Google Chrome, so Chromecast enabled.
Well, that may be for you, but we were just at a hotel, you and I together.
Yes, we were.
Not only did it not have Chromecast, but you couldn't get to the back of it to hook any of the devices up.
Au contraire, you just had to have a couple of people to be able to help you lift it off the wall. At that point, was anything's possible, but yeah, you are right. Like, sort of that's a limitation. I think that's a long term. I think that'll be that's a long term solution to what hopefully will be a short term problem. But you're right. Like, sort of like that's not necessarily the easiest way to go, because if you don't have access to the back of the TV, then There's no, you know, like all the Chromecasting in the world, etc., or any of those sort of casting type services are of no use to you whatsoever. I do get that and concede that. But yeah, like it was one of the things that I found
into the television.
Sorry, what was that?
Unless the television is a smart TV.
Well, that's true. So, in at least two of the hotels that I stayed at when I was traveling in Europe this year that actually did have smart TV powers.
Mm-hmm.
so they were able to...
Still telepathy.
That's exactly right. Oh, you won't enjoy this show, Kyle. but yeah, that was really awesome. That was fantastic. And even, like, you know, because of course, just because they're Chromecast doesn't necessarily mean you have to use it for Chromecast either. Like, you can actually generally, depending on what the TV is, you can also use it for smart transmission from other things as well. So what I mean by that is that, say, for instance, using it from laptops, etc. So I've done that before as well. Like if I didn't have my external monitor with me, like for whatever reason, the trip that I was going on, I decided not to take the external monitor, then that's also I'd use that use the TV as an external monitor for items to work on as well. So but yeah, and so of course your Pico
projector
that could be used for that as well.
So in a Pico projector is probably going to set you back at least 200, if not more. If you're looking for a lower cost stocking stuffer that would fit into almost the same amount of space, I can personally highly recommend the Roku streaming stick.
Yep.
That it would be for these United States. I do not know how that works globally. But if you do have access to an HDMI port and a USB port, or if you don't have a USB port, you can plug it in to a USB adapter like you would use for a phone or whatever. Just plug it in. As long as it can get some sort of power. You can get a darn fine selection of most things. And I know that there's the Fire Stick. I know that there are lots of other devices out there that do media streaming. But for me, I have always been a big believer in the Roku Stick. So that's just that's me personally. Do you have any experience with those streaming sticks?
So in Australia, like there's one of the telcos here that actually rebrands the Roku. Telstra rebrands it, and they've got they sell it as Telstra TV. I'm not sure if all the Roku the additional apps and that sort of thing are actually available on that because they've rebranded it and they've probably locked it down so it, you know, does their own content and that sort of thing. So that's not the stick one. It's the little sort of looks like a little
box.
Yeah, a little box. And that was really easy to use. I did enjoy that. We were at an Airbnb last year for over Christmas New Year period, and they had one of those, and that was the first time I'd actually sort of played around with one of those tools, and it was that was really good, really nice and easy and simple and exciting and all that. So yeah, no, I get that. That would be good. I do have a one of the Amazon Fire Sticks.
Okay.
So the challenge of using that outside of the US is that there's only limited options as to what you can actually watch on it and that sort of thing. So that like that's a bit of an issue. Which gets back to conversation I think we missed out on because we had a crash in our recording, which was that there are some things that are ubiquitous within the US that are different once you get outside of the US. So and the Amazon services are an example of that. So there are Amazon services which are in the US and the UK, and I think Canada, I think, also has some of the services, but they don't. Like outside of that, you're kind of limited. So, say for instance, with that Fire Stick, there's limitations on what you can actually play outside of the US. So, it will play a lot of the Amazon originals. So, say for instance, the Grand Tour is an example. We'll stream through that when I'm outside of the US. But you don't get all of the the Amazon Prime movies and that sort of thing. We just recently, as in last week, had launch in Australia Amazon.com.au has been around previously, but it was just doing Kindle. So Kindle books. But it wasn't, and even the Kindle hardware, you actually couldn't order from that site. It would direct you back to the retailers. Whereas now it's actually being launched as a full-fledged retail site. And Prime is going to be launching, I think, in January is what they're talking about. So hopefully a lot of those sort of Prime services and that sort of thing are going to come during that, once that comes online. So I'm hoping that once that comes online, even though my Prime account is based in the US, that hopefully I'll get some of the access to some of that Amazon content here, or the non-Amazon content, I should say. Yeah. But it's handy for, like, I think from memory that one will have, like, it does have Netflix to be able to launch onto it, and that sort of thing, which then, you know, obviously opens up a whole bunch of possibilities as well.
Excitement.
Excitement. Well, that's yes, excitement. Exactly. So, and now that I have actual decent internet at home, it's even better. So I can actually stream stuff without having to wait for 4 hours for it to buffer.
Okay, then.
So that's really quite exciting.
So, that I feel the excitement.
As well, you should. It's one of those things that sort of. I think I mentioned before that we've now got our high speed internet at home, which then means that yeah, like there's a whole heap of things that I can actually do now that I wasn't able to do before. So, like work, which was challenging before, if in some circumstances. So. But yes, like I agree, when you're traveling, sort of like being able to do like to be a bit of downtime, and use a larger screen than just that, just the mini screen on a phone or a tablet. I think that's a good stocking stuffer.
And I do have to confess that just because I say that I want that, I don't know how much I actually use that. Because here's something that a lot of people don't know about me, so I'm going to confess to our listeners. I have a little bit of trouble getting to sleep at night, even with sometimes even when plied with alcohol, I sometimes still have trouble getting to sleep at night. But so a lot of times I need some sort of noise in the background. Now, white noise worked for a while. A fan worked for a while. But what I find is playing repeated episodes of things that I've already watched ad nauseum will often lull me into sleep in places where I wouldn't normally be able to sleep. So I don't know that having a Pico projector would work for me in that case, although they do have projectors that have special mounts that will display the picture on the ceiling, which harkens back a little bit to mirrors on ceilings, which I don't want to necessarily get into. But so in a lot of cases for me, it isn't even the flickering picture, it's the sound and the recognizable voices. So I think what I really want is somebody to tell me a story in order to get me to go to sleep. So I probably still will use a phone or a tablet or whatever for that purpose. But when it really does come down to like watching hockey, I have a prescription, a subscription to hockey when I travel so that I can watch my games even if I'm out of market. And so I like to be able to watch that, and that is a little difficult to watch on a tablet because it's a kind of a fast action sport, and the puck is so small you don't really get to see it even in a really good tablet. So you really, and I don't want to prop up a laptop because I know what I'll do. I'll turn over in my sleep and I'll end up crushing it, and I don't want that to happen. So while I will still use my phone or a tablet to help me get to sleep at night, I do want something for that projection. So I've covered that topic pretty much ad nauseum. So what's on your must-have list for little trainers and trainerettes?
So for little trainers and trainerettes and Wayne, there's a thing that I actually saw. I saw you can you sometimes you just see things in passing, and then the brain kind of registers later on that there was that something happened, and you saw something, and you go, and then it's like, what was that that I just saw? And so the thing that I saw that took me a little bit to work out how to look for it, what it was, and that's the thing, was a presenter, like the the presenter mice, or not presenter mice, like the presenter tools, and like you would say, the things that chain your slides over and have pointers and that sort of thing in them. Now, I must confess, a flip flop on these things. I'm not a great fan of them. I think they're good in some circumstances, and there's been some presentations that I've done of late where they have actually been quite handy because it's been a larger room and that's the thing, and I've been able to walk out into the room when I've been doing my presentations and interact in that way, whereas I wouldn't be able to do that necessarily if if I was tied to a podium, trying to change slides and that sort of thing. And I think, as I've discussed before, like I don't really like using slides anyway, so therefore it's kind of like it. Bit of, like I said, this is a bit of a love-hate relationship. However,
yes.
So one of the things that I've
just to see where this is going, because I have no idea what you're talking about.
So, well, okay, well, so like as a trainer, do you use presenters, like those presentation remote presentation things?
Yes.
Clickers. Yep.
I very often do. And although if I'm teaching a 5-person classroom, no.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And fine to the front of the screen at that point, because it's typically a fairly small classroom. But if I'm in a room with 10 or more people, I'm pretty much going to use that Logitech one that I have.
So the Logitech one that you've got, that's like, is that got like a laser pointer in it? And
yes.
Yeah. So one that I saw, and I saw the end result of it, but I had to then try and work out what it was it's a Logitech one as well, but it is a Spotlight. So it's called the Logitech Spotlight Advanced Presentation Remote. It comes in three colors.
Bright flashlight?
So it's called Spotlight. No. So it's like that's just the brand of it. It doesn't have a spotlight in it, a flashlight in it. But what it does have is the effect of that. So what I mean by that is that, say, for instance, if you're doing a presentation, and particularly in particular, there was a couple of times I've done presentations where it's been over a wide room. So you've got two screens that are actually being projected onto from the student perspective.
Yes.
So if you're doing that and you're using the laser pointer, you've kind of got to do it
on one side. Can't see what you're pointing to on the other side.
Exactly. So you've got to do it twice, or alternatively, you know, you just like you know sometimes you forget and you just do it on one side, and the other side's like, well, what about us? We didn't know what he was pointing to, or they try to crane their neck to the other side to see what you know, and you get the idea. Like, it's a pain in the neck. So what this does is this actually has some software that will do the spotlight, but the like, and so it does a spotlight highlight screen. But because it's on your central screen, so in other words, it's, you know, basically you're doing it on your
gesture to your screen in front of you.
Well, so this is why I haven't used it, so I don't know. So my guess is the way that it works is essentially you've got to try and point it in the right direction I'm guessing you'll kind of like have to picture where a virtual screen is, and you can then you gesture with the mouse while you point, or gesture with the spotlight thing while you're pointing, and that will then cause a highlight to occur over the screen.
I see.
So basically what it does, it kind of dims the rest of the screen a little bit.
Highlights
what you're going, what you're doing, but as well as that, it also does zoom as well.
Ooh!
You can point at something, and then press a button on the remote controlly thing, and then it will actually zoom in on that spot. Now that I think is cool.
I agree with you. So where did you see this being used?
So I honestly think from memory.
No idea, do you?
No, I don't. But like, cause as I said, it was one of those things that sort of I had a brain, like, you know, the brain kind of registered it and then afterwards caught up of hey.
What happened?
And I think from memory, I think it was probably at the Tech Summit that I see someone using it at Tech Summit, like in Sydney. So I walked past a room where someone was presenting with it. And then that led me to actually going and doing a search for it to try and find.
So, I see. And is this a fairly pricey object?
So it depends on your definition of pricey. And also I'm not sure, like, say for instance, sure, your Logitech one, what would a good Logitech wireless remote with the laser pointer be like sell for in the US?
About $80.
Right, okay. Yeah. So I think the last one I bought was around the same. It was about maybe it was $100. But so roughly the same. So this one in, like, just having a look at the pricing on Amazon, the list price for it is $130 US.
Okay. So a little bit more pricey, but I'm guessing that probably has something to do with the software.
Yes, yeah, I'm guessing so. So like the kind of, and it has, it has things like it has, like you it's got a, it's rechargeable, so it's a USB, the like USB recharge. So basically, you plug it in to charge it up. Then it's pretty simple with the buttons that are on it, so it's pretty easy to use. Like by the looks of it, pretty easy to use in advance and that sort of thing. It does have timing in it, so therefore, you can use it to as a timer, so it'll basically vibrate once your time's up, whatever your alert is for it for the time. So yeah, so like it's got functionality beyond just simply being a pointer. But as I said, like I think for me that's actually like it's some usefulness in that pointy as well. So yeah. So that like that's a train like a little trainer sort of piece of technology that I've come across of late that I thought was quite cool and quite neat. So yes.
Discussion before, and I don't know that we've ever come up with a comprehensive answer, or at least one that we can both agree on. But I believe that there is going to be either augmented reality or virtual reality in use in the classroom in the next 1 to 2 years. I don't know how. I don't know exactly what difference that's going to make, but I do believe that. So I would also like to put in the both fun category as well as perhaps development library or the development wing of Christmas that some sort of VR device might not be a bad thing for a trainer or trainerette or Wayne to have in their stocking. Of course, you and I have had our differences about this, mostly because you get sick.
Yes, very true.
In virtual reality. I don't, do you feel the same way with augmented reality?
So with augmented reality, no, because with augmented reality, you've got anchor points. So with augmented reality, we're talking about like the HoloLens style thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So now, so with that, no. Like every time I've used HoloLens, I've never had an issue with motion sickness with that.
Okay. I do have to say that I didn't think that the new Oculus Gear VR was going to be a big deal compared to the previous version. But with the addition of the pointer that you get with the Gear VR and the advances in VR technology, you too can see pornography in ways that no one else has ever seen pornography. But not just that. I do believe that avatars and things like that are going to be, having people pop up into a classroom where you're all sort of sitting around and floating in space or whatever, might become a reality from a coolness perspective, to start with, but I think it may become a realistic thing. But just for that sort of Netflix thing that I was talking about, watching something, or a sporting match, watching something which feels like you're watching your television at home in the hotel room or wherever you are on the plane or whatever, it might actually become a thing. But I can honestly say I have traveled not nearly as extensively as you. Have yet to see anybody sitting there on a 2-hour-plus trip with their goggle.
I can say that I've never seen anyone doing that. Yeah, I'm yet to see anyone sitting there with goggles on. I can see the use for it. I can see the reason for doing that for sure. Like, like the but yeah, like I haven't seen that happen yet. So
Yeah, like I said, I'd love to think that there's probably some sort of virtual or augmented reality training application, but just from a pure funness perspective, if you do, people tell me that the Vive and Rift and stuff like that are also equally fun. It is pretty darn cool. except for when you're sitting at a movie theater and you look down and your legs aren't there. That's weird.
That is weird. I agree. That is a very strange feeling.
So that's in the fun category for now, but I'm hoping that there's going to be a real use there.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if that catches on.
Yeah.
I think there's a possibility that it might become that might be the case. But I think that's going to get back to discussions that we've had, you know, in prior recordings about about how training is changing, and I think that will take a lot of buy-in to be able to get that on play.
We'll see.
Yeah.
If I'm right, gosh darn it.
That's right. I hope for your sake that you are, because then you'll be able to enjoy the same experience that I have most days.
All right. So what's number two on your list then?
So number two on my list is, I think I've mentioned before, an Xbox of some sort would be good. You know, that'd be good fun. But the flip side of that is that, as you well know, that I do a little bit of running now and then. So I've been looking at a new pair of running headphones. So I currently have I can't do any distance running without music, or invariably some podcasts. So I actually listen to podcast or Audible, Audible audiobooks while I'm running, because if I don't, then I get bored and I realize that what I'm doing, and then I want to stop. So I have to do something to distract myself from the fact that I'm running. So I have a pair of Jabra Sports Pulse headphones, which are good. There's nothing really wrong with them, apart from the fact that I keep on losing what they call the earwigs off them. There's little things that sort of basically hold them into place. They hold them into place when they go into your ear, because they're wireless. They're not cordless, but they're wireless. So whenever I put them in my pocket or in a bag, there's the little sort of the things that hold them on just seem to drop off at a silly rate. So I'm now in the process of, when I order replacement ones, I order them in sets of two, because I know I'm gonna have to replace them at some point. So I've been looking at there's a completely wireless and cordless version of those, which I quite look up simply because they are they're new and cool and funky, and. So that sounds like it's. I think we've got wrapped up, you know, some of the ideas for Christmas presents, or for non Christmas presents, for Christmas presents for presents for the new year. My birthday is early in the year, in February. So Brian, if you want some ideas, now you know, right?
Yes, I realize that if I liked you enough to get you a present, that's what I could listen to this and know exactly what I should have gotten you, instead of what I will actually get you.
I don't know whether that's harsh or fair. I think it's probably both.
It's probably both. Yes. Go ahead.
So I was just going to say that some of our more eagle-eared listeners has probably noticed a slight change in particularly in my microphone and my voice. And it just depends on how good a job James, our sound guy, has done in actually melding together what is three separate recordings, one of which, this one, is actually in a completely different week from the last one, mainly because Skype for Business has just decided to crash randomly, which is awesome fun.
I believe you've solved your problem by just basically taking everything out and putting it all back in again. Is that what you've done?
That is exactly what I have done.
All right, I might have to go down that venture later on today, because yeah, basically all of my offices, all offices crashing. So that's awesome. Having said that, I think yes, like we've obviously got some ideas for folk of presence. If there's anything that we missed, if there's something really cool that you've come across that you thought should be under your Christmas tree, or alternatively, depending on when you're listening to this, you were disappointed it wasn't under the Christmas tree, then jump on Twitter, send us a tweet at Tuesday TTT. If you want to subscribe to our podcast, it's through www.trainertechtalk.net. You'll be able to subscribe to the podcast and listen to this one when it's come up. So if you've already got this and you're listening to it, then the great news is that you've already done that part. So congratulations for you. Otherwise, if you do want to reach out to either Brian or myself on Twitter, you can get Brian at Brian Bork, LODS, or myself at Windows PC Guy. Before we do our final closeout, Brian, is there anything that you would like to add? Anything you'd like to say?
I would like to say that it has been a great year making the Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesdays podcasts with you, despite what it may sound like. I hope that you and your family have a really, really great holidays, and I look forward to doing some more recordings with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Same for you. It's been an absolute pleasure for me. Doing this with me as well.
You couldn't resist, could you? You
I
just
couldn't.
couldn't
No,
resist.
it's been good fun. Like it's been good fun, and I think the this year has been our breakthrough year of actually being quite regular with doing some episodes. So that's been well, at least the second half of the year, so we've been quite regular on that, which has been, I think that's been good as well. If anyone does have any topics that they want us to discuss, in particular, we do have coming up another one of our special episodes as well, which is on one of our trainers talking tech, train the trainer type episodes. If there's a course that that you're struggling with, that you want to be able to have a discussion or maybe get some more feedback on, more information on, then again reach out for us to that, and we'll see if we can line up like the someone to be able to come in and do a bit of a session or a presentation about that course. Obviously, we've kind of picked out for us the ones that are the more challenging courses that we observe, but equally there might be some other ones that that you're looking at, and you go, well, wouldn't it be really great if the guys did insert course number here, and then yeah, we'll source someone to be able to come on and have a talk about that particular course.
By the
But
way,
otherwise, sorry.
not just courses, but any topics that they would specifically like us to cover.
Oh yeah,
We're
for sure. For sure.
will do virtually anything.
Well,
I
yeah,
said virtually.
I was gonna draw a line there, but no, like yeah, we'll do anything for promotion. There's no whatever. virtually or not, that'll be fine. But yeah, so as I said, give us a shout if you do want to, if there's any particular topics you want. Otherwise, we're currently in the planning process for what we're going to be doing for the rest of the for next year, and hopefully we might see some of you around the world in different events, as part of our sort of our planning for what's going on. But apart from that, Brian, like in all fairness, thank you very much for all of your hard work this year, and hopefully you get a little bit of downtime with the family, and we shall talk to each other next year. This will be I think one of our final episodes that'll be published for this year. or potentially publish next year, in which case none of that just made sense. we'll see how quickly we can get James onto it. But otherwise, again, thank you for our listeners for joining. And I think we can probably safely say we've broken into double digits, or sorry, into more than one person now.
That's true. Potentially. You know,
My folks listen, and you're, you know, and so that's two. So, you know.
There you go.
So we're done. But apart from that, so thank you very much. If you have enjoyed this episode, then this has been another enthralling episode of Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesday. If you haven't enjoyed it, then I would really hope that you did enjoy this episode of Patch and Switch.